Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, we sang about the coming of the Lord there. Jesus is coming again. And I want to give you something. I've given you this before, but I wanted to revisit with you. And this is something that ought to cause us to realize that we need to be aware, especially as we see time going so crazy and the culture going so crazy and the things that our government is doing so crazy. But he says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Now, when we look at this passage of Scripture, we look at this chapter, there's a lot of things in here that I believe people make a mistake with in their teaching, in their eschatology. One of the things about this passage of Scripture, it tells us some very amazing things. It tells us, gives us not necessarily a timeline, because we don't know the times and the seasons, but it gives us a progression, if you will, an order in which these things will happen to some degree. And then it gives us a warning about people, what's going to happen to people who reject Christ as their Savior when these things come to pass. And so, he says this, he starts out, and he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." Alright, so he's telling them, he's trying to comfort them, and this is a continuation from 1 Thessalonians when he was trying to comfort them because there were some that said the resurrection was past already. And so, but most of the time, when people read this, when people read this passage of Scripture, that first verse, they read it as one event. I believe it's two events. Now, I believe the context bears out that that's talking about two events. He says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together on him." That's two things. If you read throughout the Bible, for example, Isaiah 4:4, "When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning." That's two different things. Alright. Isaiah 10:13, "For he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom." for I am prudent. Isaiah 28:19. For from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take take for you morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night. Those are two different things, right? Okay. So I can look in the Old Testament, and there's several other places. There's literally 128 places that I've been able to find through doing Bible searches on a computer that it uses that term "and by," and almost every case, especially when it's put between two items, it's joining two different things. It's talking about two different things. If you go into the New Testament, for example, Romans 7:11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. So there's I guess a position between those two things and of what was done there. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Once again, Hebrews 2:10, for it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of the salvation their captain of the salvation perfect through sufferings. Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So it's talking about two different things there. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So there are several places where you can look at that. When you look at the Mark 6:4, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Okay, it's two different things, right? So we see that picture there. So, and I could go on through all that and talk about that several places. But here it says, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Now we know the scripture speaks of two particular events. It talks about the saints being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, right? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and they that are alive, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, right? We know about that picture, that there's coming a time. The thing everybody argues about is, when is that going to happen? All right? Some people say it's never going to happen. Some people say it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. Some people say it's going to happen at the middle of the tribulation. Some people's going to say, and our position is, it's pre-tribulation, right? So we have a pre-tribulation rapture. And he said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So that's two things in my mind as I read this, and I'll explain further why I say so. That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ coming, the day of the Lord, what's called in the Old Testament, which Christ comes in glory, he said, that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Alright? Now he says that the day of Christ coming in glory shall not come until after the man of sin, the son of perdition, who we know as the beast, the Antichrist, right? That until he is revealed. Alright? He said that's not going to come. There has to be a falling away first. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He talks about what it would be in this time and the things that are happening. We see so many passages. We see the book of Revelation. We see all the things that are there. And he says this, and he says about this person, he says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, he is going to go, this man of sin, the son of perdition, is going to go into the temple and sit in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. Now, if you have a mid-trib rapture or a post-trib rapture, we have a problem. And the sad thing is, some of these mid-trib people and post-trib people give themselves more problems because not all of them are premillennial in their view of the return of Christ. If they have an amillennial bent, then they are really in trouble because they don't really have a millennium. They don't believe in a millennial kingdom. So we look at that picture there, but we look at the timeline there and what he says. And he said that there would come a falling away first, and the man of sin would be revealed. All right, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And then he says, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, we know this person is going to be proclaim himself to be God or equal with God or whatever he's going to do. He's going to want to be worshipped. We know that his coming is after the power of Satan. We know all that type of stuff. We know about him, and we understand that he is going to sit in the temple of God. Now, when he's talking about the temple of God, he has to be talking about a physical, literal temple. Because other than the temple, he's talking about the Jewish temple. Other than that, the temple of the Jews, which the Jews are trying and have been trying for a long time to rebuild and want to rebuild, other than that, the only other temple that is spoken of in the Bible, the only other temples that are spoken of in the Bible, is the temple in heaven. Remember, the earthly temple is supposed to be a pattern of the heavenly, right? The mercy seat that the Jews went to was on earth. The mercy seat we go to is in heaven. Alright, we come boldly unto the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. How do we do that? Through the blood of Jesus. Into the holiest of all. Right? That's where the mercy seat is. Alright, so that's where we go. And so when we look at that and we look at what he's talking about here, it's got to be the temple on earth, because it can't be the temple in heaven. Satan's not going to come in heaven. He's been cast down from heaven. Alright? He's not going to be on God's throne in heaven. That's what got him cast out of heaven, wasn't it? That would be saying he's going to conquer God and go sit on God's throne. That's not just stupid, it's blasphemous. So you can't say that. Now, the only other temple that the Bible talks about is us. Our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. The believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God. And what would require Satan to take over that temple would be for every Christian to be possessed with devils. Which means the Holy Spirit would have to be evicted. And that would violate John chapter 14, 15, and 16, where Jesus would give us another comforter and he would abide with us for how long? Forever. So you can look these passages up. So it's not talking about the bodies of believers, not that temple either. So it's got to be a physical earthly temple that this man is going to sit in. And the Bible talks and makes it very clear there will be a temple at that time. There will be a temple built. Israel's been trying to build it. They're making plans. They've got materials. They've got everything they need. They've even tried to figure out how they're going to do their priesthood and all this type of stuff. So Israel's done this for years, for decades, and since they've been back in the land. And they still look forward to being able to build a temple over there. And so it's got to be that temple. But then in verse 6 he says, "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Right now, at the time this was written, the mystery of iniquity, the things leading up to this time in the world, have been in place. And they're already been working. Satan has not stopped working. We're told to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He hasn't stopped, right? He's that great serpent, that dragon who deceiveth the whole world. All right? He's the accuser of the brethren, is he not? Has it ever made you wonder why people always want to accuse Christians? Isn't it amazing in this day and age we have Muslims in a religion where if you follow the religion to the letter, these people are terrorists. And they don't mind killing you for their devotion to God. I mean, they are the embodiment of what Jesus said, "The time cometh when he that killeth you will think that he doeth God service." Now, I know he wasn't just talking about the Muslims, but the point being is I'm saying they fit the bill, don't they? But you're not supposed to speak anything bad about it. But my goodness, one failure among Christians, we indict the entire religion, don't we? That's because he's the accuser of the brethren. And he accuses us before God day and night. So we understand that about him. But this mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now that word let means what it means literally, let, allow. He that letteth, he that has control. If I let you do something, then I'm in control. If I let you do something, the way we use the thing, then I'm allowing it. Right? So the one that has control is the Spirit of God. And the influence of the Spirit of God has to be taken out of the way, that aspect. Well, that can't happen without us, can it? Because if the Holy Spirit, you know, there's people that teach a mid-trib rapture and everything, and they say the Holy Spirit's going to be taken out of the world. Well, wait a minute. When do you think he's going to be taken out of the world? You better say mid-trib, because if you don't, what you're saying is the Holy Spirit's going to leave all the Christians. He can't do that. Much of the Spirit's influence in this world is through what? Bible-believing Christians, through churches. And he said he would abide with us forever. Amen. So he would be, he's with us, he shall be in us. And he said he will abide with you forever. He's with you. He shall be in you. He'll abide with you forever. Read John 14, 15, and 16. It's very clear. And also Jesus' prayer in John 17. He prayed that God the Father would keep us through his name. Did he not? And the Bible says we're kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So when we talk about this time, this makes it very clear that the church must be removed the believers, if you will, not necessarily the church, quote, it will be the church, but the believers have to be removed, and we know there's a time when the believers are going to be taken up, and they have to be removed before he's revealed. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When Jesus comes, he will be destroyed. The beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. So we know that. It tells us that. All right? And I encourage you to take the time and read through this. But look what it says. And it says about who, it gives us more information. It says, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and with all signs and all lying wonders. You cannot get that progression properly if you put his coming and our gathering together unto him at the same time. Because there has to come a falling away before he can be revealed. And the Spirit of God has to be taken out of the way. The influence of the Spirit of God has to be taken away from the world. At least to some degree. And he can't be taken, the influence of the Spirit of God can't be taken out of the world without taking him out of us. We have to go with him. Then that wicked is revealed. So that's why we have we look at a 7-year tribulation and the rapture of the church prior to that, a pre-trib rapture, and we look for a pre-millennial coming of the Lord, and who at that time will destroy the beast and the false prophet, that man of sin. The man of sin, the son of perdition. And he said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Alright. So, those people that remain that have heard the truth of the gospel and rejected it, there will be a strong delusion. They will believe a lie, and they will be lost eternally. Those are the people that we're concerned about now. The people in the tribulation, well, preacher, aren't people going to get saved in the tribulation? Absolutely. The Bible makes that real clear. Read the book of Revelation. But not people who heard the gospel and understood it before. Not people who willfully rejected it. Those are the people we're concerned with. The people that are going to get saved during the tribulation, God's going to raise up a bunch of people to preach during that time. And God's focus is not going to be the nations. God's focus is going to be Israel. And there are going to be people out of those nations that are going, that did not receive the mark of the beast and did not worship him, that are going to go into the millennial kingdom from other nations. That's pretty clear in the Old Testament. But the focus is going to be on Israel, the redemption of Israel. That's because this is called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's Daniel's 70th week. 70 weeks are determined upon by people. Whose people? Daniel's people. The Jews. To make an end of sin, make reconciliation for sins. So Daniel's 70th week has not finished yet. That 70th week is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's the time what we call the tribulation. And so when we look at that passage of Scripture, we see that. So we see what's going to happen there. And then he says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. In other words, you're saved. You've trusted Christ your Savior. We're glad for your salvation. Alright? Now you need to stand fast in those traditions, those things you've been taught, whether by our word or by our epistle. So how have we gotten? We're to stand fast in those things. Now, thankfully, we have the completed Word of God, don't we? Amen. And we're supposed to stand fast in it. And one of the things we're supposed to do is win souls. Why? Because we know there's a time coming when people's opportunity will run out. You know, old preacher one time by the name of J. Harold Smith used to preach a message called God's Three Deadlines. He says there's three deadlines. He said, if I remember him correctly, the first deadline was the day of your death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The second deadline, he said, was the rapture. When Christ comes, when that time comes, if you knew the gospel and willfully rejected, you'd have no joy, no chance. He said the third deadline is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, which is not a sin that a Christian can commit, by the way. And that's a very specific sin. But he talked about those, if I remember correctly, if I remember the message, he talked about those deadlines, and he talked about them, and he went through them in the Scripture. And this is talking about one of those deadlines. But we're in a time where we realize that people have deadlines. We know that every day the coming of our Lord gets closer, don't we? And we know that the world out there, our loved ones and other people, we know they don't have tomorrow promised to them any more than we do. And we know that there are people who God gives up into a reprobate mind, do we not? Book of Romans. Become a reprobate. You sin in such a way that you get to a point where your heart's so hard, I guess. I mean, we have to go look through the Scripture. And I mean, a lot of people have talked about that message, but that always impressed me. There's certain things that happen. You say, are there reprobates in the world? Well, they're mentioned in the Word of God, aren't they? But you know what? I can't tell if anybody's a reprobate because I can't see their heart. So I'm supposed to preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm just trying to get us to see this. But do you understand? Do you see the progression that God gives us? He doesn't give us the day or the hour, but He does give us a progression, doesn't He? And He beseeches us by two things, by the coming of the Lord and by our gathering together unto Him. And we look for both, don't we? Two great events. And He gives us the progression. And the progression is in such a way that it has to go in that order. Gives us a very specific order. There's a great falling away before that man of sin can be revealed. And there's something holding him back, which can only be the Holy Spirit. Trust me, man's been trying to hold the devil back for a long time. He hadn't been successful yet. I like the old preacher. They come to him and said, preacher, He said, don't tell me you believe in a personal devil, a real live devil. And he said, well, I've got one question for you. He said, who's doing all the devilment? And that time's coming. We see, we understand these things are going to happen, but we look at mankind. Mankind can't be the restrainer. It can only be the Spirit of God, who convinces the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, Jesus said, of sin because they believe not on Jesus, of righteousness because he goes to his Father, and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged, because Satan's doom is sealed. He can't do more than God allows. I don't know how it could be any plainer. The only thing that muddies the water is if you just don't read it literally. That's all I have for you tonight. I just wanted to give you something to think about. I hadn't talked about it in a long time. And some of the things I'm seeing in this world, I'm just saying, looking at the United States, I'm saying, man, we just seem to be on a quick decline, don't we? And there's one thing I don't see. I don't see America in the book of Revelation. Except as a footnote, as a mention of all the nations together. I don't see anything about America being there. So just something to think about, something to see, something to understand. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close out tonight. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for each one that's here tonight. Pray you take the Word of God and use it in our hearts, Lord. Hey, let us see the time and let us understand the signs of the times. And Lord, help us to just commit ourselves and renew our commitment to you, to do your will, and to be the witnesses that we're supposed to be. Lord, help us to care and love and pray for and witness to all those people we care about on this earth, and every stranger we can, and every person. We just pray for the salvation of souls. We pray for the prospering of the Word of God in the hearts of men on this Mississippi Gulf Coast, and these missionaries that we support and try to help. Lord, help them and help us do the work that you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.